Hello, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast, and we're looking at the book of Daniel. We have seen that the times of the Gentiles are given, which Jesus spoke about, and said that the end of the times of the Gentiles is when he'll set up his kingdom in the earth. Those times of the Gentiles are defined. It's a measurable period of time that began with the Babylonian captivity, and it will end with the setting up of the kingdom of the Messiah up on the earth. So we're looking at the book of Daniel to see where we are in this thing. Praise God, we're not in the golden head, but we're in the time of the toes, when the stone, the European Union is on the scene, and the stone cut out without hands is going to hit that iron Roman kingdom revived. Now, we saw that Nebuchadnezzar saw the times of the Gentiles in a great mineral image, a man in descending value, going from gold down to the toes of iron and clay. Then when Daniel saw them, he has two visions of them. We're going to look at his second vision of them next week, but we're closing out with his first vision of them this week. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 23. He has seen the first beast, which was Babylon, a lion with eagle's wings. He saw the second beast, Persia, a bear. He saw the third beast, Alexander, as a leopard moving quickly over the earth. And then he saw that that leopard had four parts to it that took over the kingdom. Now he's down to the fourth beast, and this just shook Daniel. So this is Daniel chapter 7 and verse 19. He asked this angel, or this heavenly being standing by, "I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, his nails of brass, which devoured broken pieces and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns which is in his head, and of the other little horn which came up before him, whom the others fell." And so now we're going to pick up with the fourth beast again in verse 23. "The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth," the angelic interpreter is telling him, "which shall be diverse from all kingdoms. It shall devour the whole earth and tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them." Now the 10 kings, I do believe that it is the Roman Empire revived as the European Union. They actually have it divided into regions. They want the people to stop thinking nations. So there's a lot we could go into there, which we don't have time for. We're going to emphasize the little horn, which is the Antichrist that shall arise out of it. "And another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings." Now this is the Antichrist, verse 25. "He shall speak great words against the Most High." When he comes on the scene, he'll speak blasphemy against God. "And he shall wear out the saints of the Most High." When he comes on the scene, the saints of the Most High, it's not the church he's talking about, it's the Jews. And the time is the tribulation period. "He shall think to change times and laws." Now, I believe the first definition you can give to the laws he'll try to change are God's laws. But he'll also try to institute his own laws and change times. We were at a great exposition a couple of years ago that was displayed in a huge tent on the Schumann Plaza in front of one of the most important buildings in the European Union in Brussels. We walked inside that tent, and the first thing we saw was a huge golden image. It was built to Schumann, who is the one who thought up the European Union and wrote all of the details about it long ago, a Frenchman. And then we saw in that place, and you'll get the pictures. We took some amazing pictures, and you will get these pictures in your folder. We took them ourselves. You can scarcely believe it. I got a call from John Rood, who is the pastor in Brussels, and he said, Billy, the things we've been searching out after, they are now telling on themselves. And so all around the wall, we saw these crazy things that the European Union had put up. And they had, for instance, they had geese flying in a V. And each of the geese were like, they had flags like the nations of the European Union. And underneath it, it said, say yes to everything. They want those nations to say yes to everything. We saw this sign, Europe as a model. In 3,000 years, Europe has given to the world democracy and fascism. In the past 50 years, Europe has reinvented itself. Today, Europe has achieved democracy, prosperity, and lasting peace. The EU's success creates a positive contamination. Get that word. Beyond Europe's borders, through syndicated, in other words, borrowed legislation, the EU infiltrates the legal systems of other nations, silently remaking the world, an end to the Crusades. It's an amazing exposition. And they say that the euro will be the money by a certain time, and that euro, when it is the currency of the whole world, if other nations will go on euro time and will do their trading on euro time, they will give other nations throughout the world the same breaks that the European Union nations enjoy. So they're thinking of changing times. They have had a little passport at the end of the exposition. I'm going to read it to you. This is a little better than what I read just before. In 3,000 years, Europe has given us democracy and fascism. Not surprisingly, over the past 50 years, it has been trying to reinvent itself. Instead of accepting its complex history as an alibi to excuse more turmoil and tragedy, it decided to reverse history. After World War II, visionary politicians created a new structure with new codes of behavior, see changing law, for the entire continent in a series of highly improvised steps and arrangements. Because the operation was so radical, it could only take place by stealth. I'm reading their words. They're saying they moved by stealth. This was on their supposedly U.S. EU passport, the image of Europe. They call it the image of Europe. That's what they call the whole display. I'm going to read you that again. They're bragging on this. Because the operation was so radical, it could only take place by stealth. For the initial part of the EU's existence, its ulterior motives could never be openly stated because of the complexity of the operation. The treatises and blueprints that defined the new Europe were hard to communicate. For the average European, the EU now is a parallel universe that coexists inexplicably and unexplained with the real world as we know it. Too often, this double life has been perceived as negative, as if the blue territory of Europe would take away our national identities. In fact, the creation of a new Europe gives each of us new space to imagine ourselves. The EU perplexes more than inspires. Yet at 50, the EU that accomplished Schengen, these are treaties, the euro, prosperity, and lasting peace. This exhibition celebrates an end to its inhibited iconography and its coming out. From now on, the EU will be bold, explicit, popular. I can tell you that all around the walls of this exhibit called The Image of Europe, they displayed religion as something terrible. And at the very last, there were two men in an act of homosexuality in a photograph. I can't explain it to you. I don't want to talk about things like that. But they say that they are coming out. Now, in Brussels, one of the main icons in that city is the Atomium. The Atomium was built during 1957, It was an exhibit at the World's Fair, and it is a giant. Maybe you've seen it. You could go online and see it. It will be. There will be a picture of it when you send for our book. It is a giant iron molecule. It is as if the city is bragging in the face of the world and pushing forth iron. I'm going to read you this, the automium. The automium is the visual representation of the concept of an atom. It symbolizes an elementary iron crystal with its 9 atoms magnified 150 billion times. Who would think to put up a giant iron molecule? When you go there, and I wish you could see some of our things. Maybe you can go online and see the Seat of Satan or order from us our teaching on that. And you can see how they align themselves specifically with Rome Revived. And of course, they are the parliamentary head of the European Union. Back to the Bible. Verse 25. And he, the Antichrist, shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and the dividing of times. That's 3.5 years. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. That's the Antichrist. He's going to be judged. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Now, under the heaven, under the heavens, we're talking about earth. God's earthly people who will be reigning then will be the Jews. We know they will be those who, Zechariah 12, Zechariah 14, they recognize him when he comes. Whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. I'm going to read you that as it is said in the verse 27. And the kingship, the dominion, and the grandeur of the kingdoms anywhere under the sun will be given to the holy high ones. Its kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will serve and obey it. Now, this is Daniel talking. He said, I guarded the matter in my heart. Tomorrow, we're going to start again with chapter 8. But I'm telling you, we're only hitting the high spots. I do hope you can. For a long time, I thought, ma'am, I wasn't going to make that eschatology school available. But the people who were here were so excited about it. And we were able to go into some things, answer some questions that I've not been able to on the radio. You can get it from us, 1-800-972-3447. It is DVD, because you need to see the things that we showed on there. Perhaps you could order it and show it at your Bible study, or invite a few people over to your house who are interested in things of the last days as we watch for Jesus coming. His coming is so very, very nigh. This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, Shalom.